B-Pod Studios.
You can chalk it up to what's he gonna say. Well, he did go on with a little bit of praise there. If you don't like the guy, you can usually tell with the way they answer.
Right.
This was laid on, if he doesn't, it was laid on really thick. But I think he likes his coach, Brett Brown. I think he likes his GM, Elton Brand. He had talked about the place that wants to show him the most loyalty. I think that just means max contract.
Show me the money.
Show, that's what I think.
Pretty
so
much.
And not just the money, but
show me the money. Show me the money. Yes.
But also, I think it shows somebody that wants to come in, come into an environment and know that that's where he's going to be for a long time. That's what I think you're looking at with Tobias Harris. I think he's looking to prove himself right now as a guy that's worth giving that max deal to and a guy that's also worth keeping around for that long.
Sure, and with all the things that are going on around the NBA, you're looking for a stable team because you see Golden State and the rumors that Kevin Durant's going to go somewhere, Boston, that Kyrie might not be there, Toronto, Kawhi Leonard might be going somewhere else. The East is really... The Sixers are the most stable team in the East. And why not come here and hitch your wagon here? So I think it's a perfect situation for him, and it all should fall into place.
Well, we hope it does here. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic WP and Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 9 o'clock hour brought to you by The Bagster, Dumpster in a Bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebagster.com. So much to get into now, back with the Eagles. And now on the line with us from ESPN, from the show Get Up, the greatest hair that they have in sports broadcasting, former NFL quarterback Dan Orlovsky is on the line with us right now. Dan, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you guys.
Thanks for coming on with us. Always great to talk to you. Now, Eagles have been busy in free agency, busy making trades, busy readjusting the cap to get ready to maybe sign some more free agents. But DeSean Jackson, probably the headline name coming back to Philadelphia. What do you think D-Jax has left to offer now that he's 32, be 33 by the end of the season?
Plenty left to offer. It's a guy that in the midst of some rough time last year, and he was playing quarterback for Tampa, averaged almost 20 yards a catch. And when you look at that number and then watch the tape, you go, he can still go down the field and he can still scare defenses and make plays down the field. And so, I've kind of been outspoken that this is probably one of the sneakier, really big and impactful moves in this time of offseason and free agency of the NFL, just because now you've added what was missing to an offense last year that has got a lot of people. They have the opportunity to be in different personnel groupings that are going to put defenses in a lot of questionable situations, and just the marriage with the quarterback. I mean, Carson Wentz, I believe, throws a fantastic deep ball. It's something that he does really well. DeSean Jackson goes deep better, as good as anybody in the NFL. So I love the pickup.
Is this a deal they should have made maybe at the trade deadline last year instead of going after Golden Tate?
Well, I mean, listen, Golden Tate is still a good football player. I guess you can look back and say, man, that speed would have been so impactful. But Golden was coming off such a good stretch run that he had in Detroit. And, having a guy like that, you can totally justify bringing in. But I do think that this answers that missing piece. I don't know if there was a missing piece that Golden filled, that Aguilar was able to work inside and Ertz inside. The piece was, we don't really have the guy that could not only literally go down the field and make the plays, but also scare defenses and going, okay, how do we stop the ball going over our head to DeSean Jackson? And so you can justify either way. I think the reality is that it's made now, and it, like I said, offers the Eagles a lot of problems. They're going to be a big-time problem on offense for defenses next year.
I know you just touched on a little bit about how it'll affect the other receivers. How also will having DeSean Jackson in the fold help with this running game that we have?
Well, huge. All right, so it's a Monday, and whoever's playing the Eagles, the Giants are playing the Eagles. And so now the Giants as a coaching staff on Monday before the game have to sit down and, all right, what are we going to do defensively to make sure the ball does not go over our heads, that we don't give these free touchdowns away, 2-3-play drive touchdowns? And so you've got to strategically go, all right, well, maybe we have to play a little bit more too high safety because of DeSean Jackson. Naturally, that breaks one person away from the line of scrimmage, and that helps the run game. And so that there's that immediate impact that it has on game plans. And I'm not talking, I don't want to blow this out of proportion thinking this is a Julio Jones type of impact. But at the end of the day, defensive coordinators are scared to give away easy touchdowns, and so are players. And so now you're forcing defenses to, just scheme-wise, how do we want to make sure that do we want to challenge or force the Eagles to stay patient with the run and make them earn it and take people away from the box? And that's how you, it's math, it's numbers games. You've now allocated one of those numbers to paying attention to somebody with elite speed.
Then on the offensive side of the ball, it looks like the Eagles are kind of saving money at the running back position. And then defensively, it looks like at the linebacker position also. A, do you see them doing it? And B, is that something that's kind of going on around the league?
Well, yeah, I mean, you could see, you could kind of look at the prize at the position, really, and Le'Veon Bell. And I know there might be some other variables tied to it and whatnot, but no one really was throwing money at him. Adam Schefter for ESPN even reported that his agent had to kind of go drum up some interest. I'm not one who necessarily devalues the running back. There are some people in the NFL. I also believe that the Eagles, I like Adams. I believe that the Eagles have like equipped running backs, and this is a draft that there's some pieces that could be there. And so I don't know necessarily you have to go out and make sure that you go get a premier tailback in free agency. If you get him in the draft, different story. With the Eagles and the linebackers, I look at it like this. The Eagles do a really good job, and I believe in this, of building football teams inside out. And so they've invested on the defensive line, obviously Brandon Graham back and Malik Jackson. What that does is force teams to figure out, all right, we got to double team at least somebody, whether it's in the run game or the pass game. Somebody's got to be double teamed. And probably in the Eagles' case, because their players are so good, they might have to double team two guys with Fletcher Cox and Malik Jackson. And so that's going to allow the linebackers to, I don't want to say be lesser players, but you don't have to have linebackers that are constantly going to have to be beating block after block after block, because those defensive linemen are going to be eating up the offensive linemen so much.
Speaking with Dan Orlovsky, ESPN, show Get Up, obviously. And Dan, when you look at some of the other transactions in the NFC East, I guess,
yeah,
the Giants go and trade Odell Beckham Jr. When that news came down the other day, what was your reaction to it?
Well, I was fired up for the Browns. I truthfully was. I love the fact that they've kind of realized, right, this is our time. But talking directly to the NFC East and the Giants, I get it. I'm one of the people who like goes, all right, you could justify this move. It's just so late. This should have happened last draft when you had the chance at the number two pick to take a quarterback, as great as Saquon Barkley is. And so it just seems to be, you know, sometimes when it comes to football, I say this about play callers. They just throw darts at the wall and hopefully the play works. There's no rhyme or reason. It just seems like the Giants might be in that place of like, all right, well, let's do this move, see if it works, and let's do that move and see if it works. I know this. People can say what they want about Odell Beckham, but at the end of the day, Bill Belichick at the back end of the Super Bowl said, man, we won because of our players, players over plays. And Odell Beckham is an incredible football player. And so I posed this question yesterday. What group of coaches and front office people feel better? The Eagles, the Redskins, and the Cowboys, or the Bengals, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Baltimore Ravens? Because now that one is Odell Beckham's out of the NFC East, I bet you those teams feel a lot better, and he's in the AFC South. It's like, man, what are we going to do now? So, AFC North, it's like, what are we going to do now? So it's a puzzling move on many fronts for the Giants, but obviously they've gone full rebuild.
Now, when it comes to Odell being out there in Cleveland, you have a lot of guys that kind of have that same type of energy and swag. How do you think all of that's going to mix with Baker and all of those guys out there?
Yeah, I'm a big believer in chemistry. I know that is the number one question now. Everyone knows the talent level is there. How does Freddie Kitchens manage it? I look at it like this. Jarvis Landry and Odell have been outspoken about, they don't have a friendship. They are literally brothers from another mother type thing. Like they share blood in their eyes. And so they get as much joy out of seeing each other succeed as they do their own success. I think that's a very real thing for them. I also look at it, their quarterback is the alpha of all alphas in Baker Mayfield. And Baker Mayfield talks like Odell, and he dresses like Odell. They listen to the same music. They're into the same kind of stuff. And so I think that, like, yes, the personalities are there, but they also have this, they're the same kind of guys. They're the same kind. They're very similar in age. They like spending time with each other. They hang out off the field. When you have that, you can go through good and bad, and you can rely on it. You can be accountable, and you can be honest with each other. I don't believe that the personality thing is as big of a deal as some people are making it out to be, because I believe that these guys are really good players that have been on bad teams and are going, we got a chance here to do something that is really, really special in this city. Let's be a part of that rather than individual success.
All right, Dan Orlovsky of ESPN, one last question for you. What can Jaguars fans expect from Nick Foles as he heads down to Jacksonville?
Yeah, I'm as big a Nick Foles fan as there is, and I'm excited for him and happy that he finally got something that he earned with his payday. I just look at it, the expectations cannot be to get the Nick Foles that was in Philly. And that's just me being honest, because this is a Jacksonville Jaguar roster that isn't very deep and it's not very talented. They have one guy on their football team that has 100 catches in his NFL career, Marquise Lee, and he's coming off a devastating knee injury. So they don't have many guys that are proven, maybe a little bit of a potential or talent, but there's not much proven. They've got an offensive line that's not very good, and they were beat up. They've got an unreliable running back, and so there is no dominant offensive line like he had in Philly. There is no Alshon Jeffrey. There is no Zach Ertz. There is no Aguilar. So there's no Brent Celek, you know? And so the expectation can't be, whoa, we're going to get the guy that we saw in Philly. I'm hopeful, but I didn't like any quarterback going down to that Jacksonville situation. So I hope he plays well. I just don't believe it's likely.
All right, Dan Orlovsky, ESPN. Always great talking to you, man. Thanks for coming on with us.
Appreciate you guys.
Trey, that wasn't far from what you were talking about, trying to break that up. Whoa!
Got some news.
During the interview, some news broke?
Literally, like, the last 2 minutes of the interview, news broke because it's officially Howie season.
What happened now?
Well, two things. First, I'll give you the official thing, and then I'll hit you with the secondary thing.
Yeah, right.
According to Field Yates, Howie Roseman and the Eagles have restructured the contracts of defensive end Chris Long and linebacker Nigel Bradham, creating an additional $5.032 million of 2019 cap space. So there's that.
Okay.
You would think
Chris Long, a little surprising.
I think that they've always known he was coming back, especially with the Bennett trade. I think they got a good indication from him, okay, is my guess.
Yeah.
And then the second piece of news, which take this with a grain of salt, potentially. Mm. It's from Titans defensive lineman Antoine Odom. Verified account, 54,000 followers. You know, it's his account.
All right.
He says, just announced it already at Eagles. Eagles re-sign Ronald Darby on a one-year $8.75 million deal. So two pieces of news there. One definitely news.
Right.
One maybe news.
Speculation.
Yes.
Why would Antoine Odom be talking about Ronald Darby?
I don't know. Unless they maybe shared an agent or something. Brandon Lee Gowton from Bleeding Green Nation, you know, speculated the only tie he has really to this team or staff is that he played under Jim Schwartz.
Okay.
In Detroit. So there's not like an obvious connection.
All right.
Unless it's an agent or some kind of other connection.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
So there you have it.
All right. Now we have Mike Kern in studio. We'll get to him in just one second. Jason in the Northeast has been holding. What's going on, Jason? We have lost Jason. So Jason's guess what? Gone. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen.
From the Northeast,
our good friend, Mr. Mike Kern, joins us. What's going on, Mr. Kern?
I got nothing.
Okay.
You'll never get this hour back.
What are you talking about?
You know, figured that out?
I only want to give this hour to you, man.
Man, I'm telling
you. We got other things we're going to be getting into, but we want to talk to you for your basketball knowledge.
I'm an unemployed, retired bum who wants to be you guys. That's what I want to do.
Well, you're hanging at the South Philly bars no more? What's going on?
I've been taking care of my wife for a better part of a year. She had a bad hip. She's went through a lot. God bless her. And she goes through me, so, you know.
I don't know why I'm laughing, Mike. Just your delivery for everything is beautiful.
If you have to travel on I mean, I had to do 95 a lot where I live. But the Roosevelt Boulevard in the morning, they're not going to have to put those speed lights up because you can't go more than, like, 30.
Uh-huh.
It's just...
Potholes, you mean?
No,
or
just traffic. I'm trying to figure out how many tickets I'm going to get on the boulevard when they start putting that in.
Because the cameras?
You can go, and I understand why they're doing it. I get it. It's a dangerous whatever. But you can go like 45 or 50 there when there's like no, and you don't even think you are.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to boom, I got the midget. They got me. And like when they take a picture of me, I can't say it was somebody else, right?
No.
Now you have a distinct look, Mike.
Yeah, you're pretty identifiable, my friend. Bob, look at this. This guy comes in here and says he's got nothing. He's got like 20 minutes of material already the Northeast.
Oh, he could complain for 20 years. I mean, come on. I've been around it.
See, Bobby knows me.
Yes.
Bob, we've spent enough time together. Bobby, he knows my good points and my not so good points. And, you know, I hope the good points outweigh. Well, you know.
You're a little negative, but you have good points, Mike.
I've lived in this city for 61 years next month, and I've seen like two championships, and I'm the negative guy.
You're a realist, Mike Kern. All right, now, we brought you in because we want to talk some college hoops with you.
That time of the year, huh?
It's that time of the year. Selection Sunday is right around the corner. We got people listening. I'm not a college basketball connoisseur like you, right? I got my Temple Owls. That's who I root for. That's who I pull for. And, you know, if another team in the Big Five does well when Temple can't, so be it. But right now, Temple, I think on the outside looking in, they got a game coming up. I think so.
Joey Brackets has him in.
Last one.
They got to win.
Four in or something?
Well, no, he has him in his 11 seed playing Buffalo in Hartford. But if you lose the game, the first game they're going to I don't know. I think because you never know what's going to happen. Like 10 things can happen around the country that all of a sudden screws everything up. I think they're in.
Well, they got 9 o'clock tonight. They take on Wichita State.
Yeah, I don't think if they lose that game, I think they're going to have to sit and wait till Sunday. And be reading Joey Brackets and everybody else that does these things. And Joey was the first and I think still the best. But I think, and you know, they should be, nothing comes easy for this team. Mark, you see them. I mean, every game's a taffy pull. Even when they should win, and God bless them, if they didn't have that win over Houston, then I think they'd be in more trouble.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They won against Houston. They lost to Cincinnati. They had a loss against Cincinnati, which was a tough one.
People have asked me this, and I'll ask you, do you think the fact that Dumpf is in his last year and it's that has anything to do with anything?
I absolutely do.
I don't think it hurts.
Okay. So you think people actually like sit in that room and Temple's name comes up and somebody goes, yeah, you know, Fran Dumphy, good guy.
Oh, you're talking about selection-wise.
Right.
I thought you were talking about the team.
No.
I'm talking about selection-wise.
I think it does.
Okay.
I think it does. Because, look, they're aware of his track record in the NCAA. I think they would more so go into the error on the side of throw them one, and hopefully it's one that they earn, and I think they will. I think they will be Wichita State. They got 23 wins going into the game
tonight. Wichita State's been playing well.
They have been. 18 wins total in the season, I believe. But at 9 o'clock game, prime time, I think Temple steps up and wins this game. So I think they win one
game. It'll be a tie game with like 30 seconds to go.
Oh, it's going to be a great one.
Right.
But I think with tie game, down the stretch, whatever. They win this game, I think they get a
turn. And they'll go to Hartford and they'll play Buffalo.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you... I mean, everything can change between now and... You want to stay out of playing game. You don't want the playing game.
No.
That's...
That might be what they're looking at, unfortunately.
Although the Sat went to the Sweet 16 the year they got in a playoff game, or play-in game.
That was still one of the neatest things I ever covered. That was pretty cool. But I don't think if you're Temple, you want the playing game. You want to be in... And I don't mean the playing game is not the regular tournament. It is. But... I think Dumpf, you know, want Dumpf to go somewhere. Play on Friday. Mm. Give him a couple extra days.
Or Thursday.
No, Saturday.
Saturday.
With Tiger.
You go Thursday, you go Saturday. Thursday, Saturday.
How about Villanova? Villanova, any magic there for them?
Look, this year is exactly what it should have been. They lost four players in the top 34. All four that could have come back if they wanted to. You aren't going to be nearly that team. It's just that they got here a little differently because they played really well for a while and then they kind of didn't, or they were inconsistent. They've got two really good players, two fifth-year seniors. Pascal might get a look in the NBA. I don't think Booth is going to, but he's... And other than that, what do they have? I mean, really, I think Jay's done a great job this year. And look, since 2009, they've made it past the second game twice. They happened to win the national title both times they did. If this team gets past the second game, I think they've overachieved.
I'll answer your question. They got Colin Gillespie, Archbishop Wood, Pride.
Okay, and he's a good player. But they don't...
Sophomore.
Last year, they had six players. Pascal was the fifth option, and DiVincenzo was coming off the bench. They were so much the best team last year. They really were. And this year, what I think he talks about is the Big East. I don't think college basketball is that good in terms of great teams. The Big East, if you couldn't get Villanova this year, when are you getting Villanova? I mean, other than Marquette, and I know St. John's and Georgetown, somebody seems to, but really, Villanova won the regular season. I don't know if they're going to win the conference tourney. Maybe they won't. But this was the year where you could get Villanova. It's, you know, they've carried that league for 5 years. And in a great way. I know Xavier made a Final Eight 1 year, and that was great too. But if you took Villanova out of that league would be the MAC.
So you think Nova, this current group of Nova kids, you think it's going to grow into, you hate to say it, like what we expect of Nova now, like a top five team, like with this young core that they have?
Well, think about this. If DiVincenzo and Spellman had come back, we knew Brunson was leaving. We knew the other kid was leaving because they were lottery picks. The one kid was a lottery pick. They'd be a top five team this year, I think.
If they just had who?
Spellman and DiVincenzo.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay, so they knew
Bridges and Brunson were going.
Right, you knew they were going. So the kids he's got coming in next year supposedly is a really good class.
Okay.
You know, Quinterly was supposed to be a good recruit and hasn't done anything for whatever reason. They won't have any seniors next year. So maybe next year, but maybe like 2 years from now.
Right.
I mean, but look, Jay could go to the next 10 years, never get past the second round, and they're going to put a statue up to him. He's going in the Hall of Fame, and that ain't going to happen anyway.
Did you see Jay ever leaving Villanova?
Only for a few jobs, and one of them is the one in South Philly, and you would know more about that than I do. Because he wouldn't have to move. Because I don't think his wife, he has told people that he would like that challenge. Which I think it's like when Dunf was at Penn. You know, I want the challenge of doing that. And we saw Billy Donovan do it. We've seen a lot of college guys do it, some successfully.
Brad Stevens, yeah.
Some not. And you would have a better idea, Bob, because you know what it takes at the pro level. Jay's got a certain way at the college level. I think he's going to coach the Olympic team. At one of these times.
Wow.
Because he's done all that stuff with USA basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think he'd be a great choice. People love him. What he would do with the Sixers. And first of all, they have a coach. So, you know, they could go to find. Who knows what they're going to do this year?
Mm-hmm, right.
Everybody wants to get rid of Brett, but, you know, let him get rid of himself first. Like, what other job? I think the Knicks job, I think that would have appealed to him because he loves New York. I mean, when he goes to Madison Square Garden, his eyes get like this. I don't think he would have went to Oklahoma City.
Right.
You know, L.A. maybe, like even though that's all the way, but Jay's that kind of guy. But Patty loves it here. Her family's here.
Yeah, I could never see him leaving Nova.
But the kids are grown now. I mean, the kids are all out. So, I put it this way. If he don't have the best job in college basketball, he's got one of them. Because he makes really good living. There's never really any pressure on him. I mean, there is, but there isn't. Something happens at Nova, it's a 6-inch story, it goes away the next day.
Right.
He said that 100 times. Something happens in Louisville or Kentucky or something, and, you know, big headlines and all this.
National news.
And he's won 2 national titles.
Yeah, it's amazing.
In 3 years. Since UCLA, only 4 teams have done that. And he's one of them.
Wow.
Does his style transfer to the NBA?
That's a good question, because I don't know what. I mean, the college game and the pro game, I mean, Bobby would have a better idea. You know, I think they're getting more closer now. It's kind of like college football and college and pro football. But, you know, Jay's control freak. And he tells you the pregame dinner's a 12-12. It's a 12-12. It's not a 12-11. It's not a 12-13. And it's a Villanova basketball that they all recite 150 times. I don't know if that works when guys are making $20 million.
Yeah,
But he's a good people person. And the image people have of Jay, it's a lot like Dunn. He's an SOB. I mean, sometimes his kids get to be seniors as much as they love him. They've had it. He is a tough nut. I mean, you know, he'll put his arms around you and hug you, but, you know, you watch him on the sideline sometimes. He's tough to play for.
Mike Kern's in the studio with us right now talking college basketball. Just on a national scene real quick, because I do want to ask you about
Schuylkill, Tarsdale.
I know you would know it. Tobias Harris, Boban Marjanovic. He's from Serbia. Bobby's not going to know it.
Do I pronounce Schuylkill right? I don't know. How do you pronounce it?
I think
you pronounce it fine. Can you spell it?
Tarsdale. I said Tarsdale one time, and people were like, what do you mean? It's T-O-O.
Tarsdale. Yeah,
I say Tarsdale.
Yeah, I say Tarsdale Avenue.
Holmesburg?
No, I'm like you. I say
who's that golfer?
Tiger. I still don't understand. I listen to myself.
Right.
Should I say Tiger?
Tiger.
Sam Dineen used to like look at me all the time. Tiger.
Tiger. Ty?
I don't know.
I like Ty. Ger. Tiger.
T-A-G-G-E-R, man.
Here's okay. So I want to ask you about the national scene. who you like from the national scene in the bracket. And then I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to ask you about Temple, and I'm going to ask you about Fran Dunphy, and if what they're doing is the right thing. If you like Aaron McKee, what do you think he'll bring to the table next year for the Owls? And also, I mean, you cover everything, so I do want to talk to you about Tiger.
I don't cover anything anymore.
You have covered everything, my friend. We'll get into that. We'll talk to our boy Inge. Maybe we'll have Mike Curran take Inge's call.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, wow. I think that's a given.
That would be fun.
Is that like okay? No, that's not the okay guy.
What? Sort of.
No, not that guy. And then listen to this. Nick Foles made cold calls yesterday trying to sell tickets for the Jaguars. He evidently called Trey, and he called another famous Philadelphia athlete. We'll let you hear what that sounded like coming up in a few. Mike Curran is in studio with us, ladies and gentlemen. Time of the Fanatic.
Saturday.
9:24.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynn, Sam Wilson, and in studio with us, the Colonel, Mike Kern.
Saturday. That's tomorrow.
What's today?
Put a quarter.
Friday. Tigers teeing off at 8:30, or yeah, I guess he already teed
he's
off.
He's even through one.
Yeah, right. He's not going to win this week.
All right, coming up in this segment, in the next 8 minutes, there's going to a whole world of things are going to happen, all right? Mike Kern is going to take this call from Inge, all right, in KOP. And then we'll also let you hear the travesty that happened down Florida in Jacksonville. Everything that happened with Nick Foles and them making him do cold calls. And maybe a couple of people that we know got cold calls. We don't know.
For that much money, I'd make cold calls.
For that much money, I'd do a lot
right.
more. You're right. No, you're right.
He's living the dream, man.
But Mike, I want you to take this call. This is Inge in KOP.
Inge, you're on the Fanatic.
Yo, what's up, man?
What's up, man?
Yo. Who's this? You sound like the Bo, man.
I sound like who?
The Bo.
The Bo?
The Cuz.
I've been told. You have gotten that before,
wait a minute,
Mike.
I am Cuz Light. No, I've had people come up to me and say, I listen to you on the radio all the time. I say, well, I haven't been on the radio in a long time. And I but then some people have come up to me and asked me for horse picks because they think I'm Dick Girardi. Why they would think that?
I thought you were a jockey.
I weigh too much. He's a guest, Bob. All right, Inge, go ahead. Ask your question for Mike Curran here.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys. I just turned you on. So tell me. I'm sure someone has mentioned this. Tell me if it's just coincidence that LSU and Washington won their conferences this year. I'm sure someone brought this.
Coincidence in what way? Did they both cheat it?
No, coincidence in that Markelle Fultz and Ben Simmons left the program and now they're winning.
Yeah, yeah, but LSU isn't winning right now. They're in a boatload of hot water. Hey, so you're telling me that Simmons and Fultz aren't any good? Oh, one out of two, maybe.
Yeah, you're half right, Inge.
I mean, Fultz couldn't play from the get-go. But, you know, I want you to get into the Sixers. Tell me there's something seriously missing. Like I hear a lot of people saying you add talent, you need four all-stars, which is, you know, BS. Look what happened to the Sixers.
And so they shouldn't have gotten Tobias.
You got too much
wait a minute
talent.
Time out. They shouldn't have gotten Tobias for nothing.
No, this is the issue. I think JJ Redick and Tobias are the same. Like, you got to eliminate.
They're not
players.
The same player.
Wait, whoa, Inge, go back. You think JJ Redick and Tobias Harris are the same player?
They're mainly jump shooters who play.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. You know, that's almost as bad as last week when you said a fan doesn't root
and
for
I
a team.
I said no.
Think it through. Look,
and I said no.
Hey, Bo Jr.
And I said no.
Question. Let me ask you this question. If Phoenix, they get the number one pick and they come to you and say, give us Ben Simmons and we'll give you Zion. If you're the Sixers, you have to do that deal, correct?
No, you don't have to.
You don't have to. I don't think Phoenix is doing that deal.
That's my point. If you're the Sixers, you have to. Zion would be the perfect fit next to Embiid.
Then who do you put at point guard?
Point guard. Oh, I'm going in free agency. I'm bringing in Brogdon and Rozier. I'm not signing Jimmy Butler. I'm going to use Jimmy Butler and J.J. Redick's money to sign a new backcourt.
What was Jingy's cousin's name yesterday?
Jingy, his brother.
I like your brother better.
Yo, come on, man. Think a little deeper. This team can't go beyond the second round. We're talking about let's be the third seed. We can't play Boston. We're scared of this team. We're scared of that team.
I can't wait if the Sixers win the second round. I can't wait to hear all these people say they can't win. Like they're not constructed.
I want to see it too, Mike. I want to see it too. Now, Iggy,
are they a perfect team? No.
Right.
But they got... There's a lot of teams in the NBA that would trade places with him.
Now, I did put Iggy on hold, because we're going to put him in the running for those Sixers tickets, because he played along with us.
But he doesn't like him.
But I want to put him down there anyway.
That's fine in person.
Yeah. So hold on, would we trade Ben Simmons for Zion Williamson?
Okay.
Oh my God, 610.
It's a hot take if I ever heard one. 610-632-0975. Now, this is not made up. This is not a bit. Yesterday, Mike, did you see this? Nick Foles was actually making cold calls to season ticket holders in Jacksonville. After he gets introduced as a Jag, he gets on the phone, starts making phone calls. Here's what it sounded like.
This is Myra.
Hi, Myra. This is Nick Foles with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Steven, this is Nick Foles with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Get out of here.
Hey, Nick. Welcome to Jacksonville.
I got your name and wanted to see if you wanted to renew tickets for this season.
Yes.
Because we're going to need every single person out there yelling loud and creating a crazy environment for us.
All right, so this happened. This is real. That actually happened, Trey, but you actually had first-hand knowledge of this.
Yeah, man.
You used to live down in Jacksonville.
Yeah, because I used to live down there, and they had my number in the Rolodex.
All right, now, so Nick Foles actually called you?
Yeah, and I recorded it.
What?
Yeah, just because, I mean, it was, you know.
You must have a phone recording app or something.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. All right, let's hear this. Trey Thomas evidently got a call yesterday.
Hello, this is Trey.
Hi, this is Nick Foles with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Man, yeah, f*** you, Jamie. This is Trey.
This is Nick Foles with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, this is really Nick. Hey, what's up, Nick? How's everything going?
I got your name and wanted to see if you wanted to renew tickets for this season.
Renew my tickets? Oh, my God. What are they making you do down there, man?
We're going to need every single person out there yelling loud and creating a crazy environment for us, so I'm looking forward to it.
I'm sorry to tell you this, man, but there's absolutely no way you're going to be able to recreate that Philly atmosphere down there.
I'm glad we got to talk.
Cough twice if they're holding you against your will.
I just want to give you a quick call and just make sure I can see you at the games and just let you know it's going to take everyone.
Nick, don't hang up, Nick.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Don't hang up. Retracing the call. Nick?
That sounds like a serious situation,
yeah,
Trey.
Man.
I'm concerned as well.
I think we need to get down there and check on
that. I think we did. You know, here's the other thing.
Did you buy them?
No. I don't think the other people, they hung up too. They were like, oh, yeah, no.
How are they going to pay his salary if nobody goes?
That's a good point. And guess what? I think somebody else from the Philadelphia sports scene actually got a call from Nick Foles yesterday as well. Listen to this.
Yo, this is JoJo.
Hi, this is Nick Foles with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yo, BDN! What's up, my blonde-haired brother?
We're going to need every single person out there yelling loud and creating a crazy environment.
Well, fans have to trust the process.
I just want to give you a quick call and just make sure I can see you at the games and just let you know it's going to take everyone.
How many tickets should I buy? 69.
Thank you.
Okay. I'll buy more if you tell me one thing. How big is it? Really? Hello? Hello?
So you're not the only person getting harassed?
Oh, I mean, it's just all around.
JoJo
Nick's
also
sensitive, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. You're trying to buy some tickets. JoJo tried to buy 69 tickets. Come on now. What do you need? What more do you need there? Mike, I asked you this before. Do you have a favorite in the NCAA tournament? Do you have one team that you're looking at and going, that's my team, that's the team I think will win it all?
Well, look at it this way. If I said you can have Duke, if Zion's healthy, mm-hmm. which he looked healthy last night. And by the way, that question about Zion for Simmons might not be as stupid of a question.
No, it's not. I don't think it is.
But anyway, would you take Duke or the field?
I'm taking Duke.
See, I would probably take the field just because. But when Zion, here's what it's funny to me. So Zion gets hurt and he's out and they go 3-3. They've got two other players on their team who are going to be in the top five in the draft. Yeah. And all of a sudden they go, but that's maybe how good he is or how important he is or whatever to that team. And the interesting thing is right now, Joey Lenardi has him as a two seed in whatever the West or whatever they're in. And Kentucky is the one seed. I tend to look, I think Gonzaga is really good.
Yeah.
The team I'm kind of looking at a little bit, Carolina's good, but I don't know. There's something about them. They don't play defense a lot. I like Kentucky a little bit because Kentucky gets the same players Duke gets. Maybe not this year. They're not quite
right.
That. Mm-hmm. And they've been playing better. They've been getting better like the whole year. And Cal, you know, I mean, he's only won one title, and that was like 6 years ago with AD. I get all that. But I like, if I was looking at it right now and you said take one team, you know, other than Duke, because Duke's going to be everybody's favorite, I would look at Kentucky a little bit.
Mm. All right.
There's some really weird teams in the – I mean, Buffalo is like a 6 seed. Wofford's like a 7 seed. We've never seen teams like that seeded like that. Right. Nevada is like a 6 seed.
The Zags are one of the teams that did beat Duke with Zion.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's one of his best teams, and he made the final game a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. But I would just have trouble picking them to win it. Michigan State I liked a little, but they're banged up.
I like Michigan a little bit, too.
Michigan, yeah. But I never picked teams that like went last year, which is probably bad thing on my part. Yeah, there's like a lot of teams like that. There's a lot. And I think it's going to be a good tournament because of that. That like you can go like maybe 3 through 10 seeds, and almost everybody is everybody.
Mm. All right. Now, last thing I want to ask you about college hoops here. With everything going on at Temple and Fran Dunphy and Aaron McKee coming in to take over, do you think Temple's doing the right thing here? And do you think Aaron McKee will come in and be a good coach?
Well, whether they're doing the right thing, I mean, I know Dunph didn't want to go. Mm-hmm. He wanted to fulfill his contract, which either had one or two more seasons. I'm not sure. There's been some debate about that. But if you look at the record the last 5 years, I get why Temple people are upset. I think sometimes they're unfairly upset. But he did have a good run before that, like a 6-year run. He just didn't win in March.
Right.
And that's the problem.
That's huge.
There was a couple bad losses in March that if he had won those games, I think people probably would have whatever. You know, as for Aaron, I have no idea. I love Aaron. He's one of the Temple's greats. He was one of Chaney's greats. Let's see what he can do. I think the biggest problem Temple has is they're in a football league. And basketball, all the decisions in college sports now, it has nothing to do with basketball. Look at their closest game is UConn. And that's not like the easiest trip in the world, but okay. Then it's Memphis, East Carolina, two Florida schools, two Texas schools, Wichita. Temple might put more miles on than most schools in the country. I'm not using that as an excuse.
I understand. But Aaron McKee sitting across from mom and dad in the living room trying to recruit somebody, is that pretty much what they're going for right now?
I think they're going on the fact that they hope that Aaron can control North Philly. He can get kids in the city. And some kids don't want to stay in the city. You know, they want to go elsewhere. Or maybe they want to go to St. Joe's. But if you can get a couple good players out of Philly, let's face it, if Villanova walks in the door, you're not getting them anyway in most cases.
Right.
And I think they're but I've never seen Aaron coach. I know he's learned. He sat there. He's watched. It'll be an evolution, a process. But look, it's never going to be what it was with John Chaney.
Understood.
And that doesn't mean somebody can't come in and do better than Fran. John Chaney played a goofy style of basketball that in March just goofed up all these teams. And that's why he was successful. And that's why he's in the Hall of Fame. And I think Temple people want to know why they can't quite recapture that. And that was 20 years ago.
Well, hopefully it's something they can recapture. Mike Kerr, we'll wrap things up with you coming up in a minute here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm going to get Jason in here as our final call of the day. We do have a sexy weather report for you a little bit later. Jason, what's on your mind about those Eagles running backs, brother?
Hey, real quick, though, I want to thank you guys because you guys made me some money yesterday.
Oh, what did we do?
the great Embiid impressions you guys do. And I happened to be in the grocery store, and I was kind of thinking out loud. And what I mean by that was I was talking to myself, and a lady heard me. And she gave me a dollar and said, God bless.
Wait. Somebody thought you were homeless and gave you a dollar?
I don't know what they said. I guess they thought I was either a speech impediment or I have no idea. But.
Wait, hold on. Jason, this happened yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday.
All right. So were you doing a Joel impression?
Yes, sir. Today I play a lot of crap. I was too busy thinking about the great deal I got from Barlow Chevrolet.
That's a spot that is our
station. Sounds like Charles Barkley doing an impression of Joel Embiid.
That's why I said I got a dollar.
Jace, that's awesome. What do you got on running backs, man?
Now I'm not really sure about how Clement is health-wise doing, but is he going to be healthy this year?
Look, I actually interviewed him about a month ago. I caught up with him at the Philly Car Show. He said he's feeling good. He feels like he's going to have his best year, all that stuff. I feel like, look, you can never predict a player's injury or their health, whatever. But I know he's feeling good right now and feeling like he's going to come back strong.
Okay, because my biggest thing was we're talking about all these guys can catch the ball in the backfield, but if this guy can have a solid year, he can be that guy for us. To me, it seems like we just need that in the tackles guy to get us those hard 3 to 4 yards and can break one. Because Ajayi didn't have the breakaway speed, but he definitely had that. Like, I don't know, when he played, it just seemed like he was a man among boys out there when he was good.
All right, you're right. You're absolutely right, Jason. I'm going to put you on hold. You're in the running for our Sixers tickets here, but we do have to get our sexy weather report in, brought to you by Delilah's Gentlemen's Club.
This is Smooth Jay with your sexy weekend weather forecast. Saturday, high of 44, low of 38, with a chance of sexiness. Perfect day to put on some long underwear and never look back. Oh yeah.
Right.
And then Sunday morning, rain is falling. High 59, low 41. Perfect day for some pancakes. Trey's wife gets out of bed to make him some cakes. He immediately body slams her back down and says, "That's the pancakes I like on Sunday, baby." And then they get it on.
He's talking about Rosa.
Oh, yeah. This has been Smooth Jay with your sexy weekend weather forecast.
Well, this is going just about as good as you thought it would, right? Now the missus is involved. And if you would like to be a part of Farzana and Trey morning show, now you can. Call our sexy weather line. Deliver an upcoming weather weekend weather report in your sexiest, hottest voice like Smooth Jay. And if you give us the best one, we'll play it for you live on air on Friday. Call 610-771-9759. That's 610-771-9759. Give us your sexy weekend weather report. Brought to you by Delilah's Gentlemen's Club and Steakhouse, always on top. Mike Curran, what'd you think of that?
That's why I love Saturdays.
There you go.
But I don't understand the concept of body slamming my wife. That's like a distant memory.
It's all interesting.
Distant memory.
Crazy things. We didn't have a Twitter poll, but if we did, it was brought to you by the great people of Window Nation. Let's get into our takeaways of the day right now. Sam Wilson, start us off.
My takeaway of the day is that the Jaguars may be a little desperate for fans if they needed this former Super Bowl MVP to call for tickets.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
They're a little desperate. Trying to move some units, as they call it. Jamie Lynch, takeaway of the day.
Joel Embiid, I learned, is just like us. He wants to know how big it is.
Toss the pawsos. Bob Cooney, takeaway of the day.
Speak for yourself. Mike Kern,
you want to know, Bob.
You are a treasure. Whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
This should become a regular part
you
of your life.
You are a treasure.
Yes.
I would like let's make that happen.
Throwing his resume out there.
I promise you, Mike.
I got nothing else to do.
At least once a year, I'm going to have you in studio.
At least once a year.
At least once. Every Friday before every Friday before Sunday.
I'm bringing the limoncello next time.
No, I'll bring the limoncello.
No.
I owe you, Mike.
No,
Kern.
Bobby says should bring the limoncello.
I didn't say anything.
He's right.
Trey Thomas, takeaway of the day.
TGIF, baby.
That's right, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend. My takeaway of the day is that when we talk to you on Monday, maybe you'll see Duke Johnson. Dressed up in an Eagles uniform. Maybe.
I promise you won't have to do any cold calls.
That is 100% true. Stay tuned for Gargano Martinez Middays here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And thank you to Dan Orlovsky who joined us and Tobias Harris from the 76ers. Go Sixers tonight, everybody. Take it easy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.